This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Orchids and dandelions, a metaphor researchers now use to describe how sensitive children are to their environment. Some kids are like dandelions. They're going to turn out fine no matter where or how they were raised. And then there are the orchids, children who will need lots of nurturing and attention for things to go well. Of course, this is a very rough sketch, but it does represent a somewhat new way of understanding and how psychologists view resilience. Researchers at Duke have been picking apart this metaphor and studying the role that long-term interventions play and how children develop throughout their lifetime. One of these researchers is Ken Dodge. He is the William McDougall Professor of Public Policy at Duke University and the director of the Center for Child and Family Policy. He designed an intervention called Fast Track that he's been working with, and working with the same group of children for more than 20 years. He joins me in the studio now to talk about the project and some of its findings. Ken Dodge, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me here.
Tell us a bit about the Fast Track project. How did it come about?
Back in 1989, the federal government realized that there was a rapidly growing rate of juvenile crime and violence. Those were the days of the super predator metaphor. And the federal government wanted to do something about it. A group of researchers, myself included, stepped in to contemplate what we knew scientifically at that time and to design and to develop a long-term intervention program for children who, by age five, we knew were at risk for growing up to become chronically violent.
Tell us about some of those interventions.
So the interventions drew on what we knew about important factors in these children's growth and development. So parenting is very important. So we designed an intervention to support parents in their management and support of their children. We designed an intervention directly with the children. A lot of this has to do with social competence and ability to self-regulate, executive function, we call it now, grit, persistence, social problem solving, social skills. So we designed an intervention to help children learn those skills. We also knew academic success is important, so we designed a reading, tutoring, and academic support intervention. We worked with the teachers. We worked with peers. A pretty comprehensive kind of intervention that we put together in more or less a seamless way, and that was the Fast Track intervention. It's expensive. It costs $50,000 a child over a 10-year period of time. But we were committed to working with these same children for 10 years, and then from first grade through 10th grade, and then watching them grow up into adulthood.
And it is a research study, so some had the intervention, some didn't, and you watched them.
Yes.
Develop.
After piloting, when we were ready to test it, we conducted a very rigorous randomized control trial in which we screened 10,000 children in 55 schools in four different cities in this country. And we identified 891 who were at highest risk in kindergarten based on their teachers and their parents reporting that they were highly aggressive, disruptive, conduct problem. We knew they were at risk to become the chronically violent criminal. And we randomly assigned half of them to receive the Fast Track intervention and half of them not to receive the intervention.
All right. So this plays pretty well now with our intuition about how this thing might work. We sort of imagine, I think a lot of us children, as sort of tabula rasa. They're these blank slates. They're very sensitive to their environment so that they have the right kinds of upbringing early on. Things will go well. If not, we may have to change things along the way and give them more time and attention, and that every one of them should in some way respond, that there's this hope that each one will. So you're going to test a little bit of that right now in this project, right?
That's right. That was our goal. And there were two different trains of thought at that time. One train of thought was that these children who are at high risk are permanently flawed and defective, and no matter what you can do, they are predestined. No, that's the metaphor of that super predator who is predestined to grow up to a life of crime, and we should simply warehouse them, and there's nothing you could do that would make a difference. A different hypothesis was that might it be that the very same children who were vulnerable to the ill effects of a dangerous neighborhood or a difficult upbringing, might those very same children also be susceptible to our positive intervention and flourish if we could provide them the right kind of nourishment? Hence that orchid and dandelion metaphor. Were these children orchids, perhaps? That is, if you don't feed them properly, they'll die. But if you do feed them properly, they can really flourish.
So tell us about your findings so far.
So far, we have followed, we've delivered the intervention to 445 of those 890 children for a 10-year period of time. They are now 27 years of age, and we have followed them up through the end of age 25 by looking at the arrest records, clinically interviewing them and making psychiatric diagnoses, as well as interviewing another person who knows them to provide an independent, objective perspective. And in all three of those areas, the children who had been randomly assigned to receive the intervention are faring better. They have fewer arrests, fewer days in jail, in prison, fewer rates of antisocial personality, less cost to society in the form of mental health treatments, Medicaid payments, incarceration payments, that sort of thing. On the positive side, more success in life, reported happiness, general success. The results are clear. They are not miracles. It's not that every child in the program did well and every child in the control group did poorly. It's mixed, but in overall, on average, it's a positive finding.
That's great, and that matches our intuition pretty well, the idea that if you would just intervene, spend a little more time, spend a little more money. And by the way, the amount of money you spent, while it sounds like a lot, is far less than you will spend on the other end if you allow these children to get into the criminal justice system. So that all makes sense. But along the way, you discovered there are some genetic markers that emerge that talk about a child's susceptibility, both their sensitivity to their environment, negative perhaps, factors in their environment, and then their ability to thrive, and others who may not have such a sensitivity, meaning they might do just fine no matter where they were. On the other hand, they may be less likely to respond to interventions.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, not every child in the intervention group came out perfectly, and every child in the control group came out poorly. So we wanted to examine that heterogeneity. And again, we had two different hypotheses. One hypothesis is that there might be a genetic marker that tips us off that some children are permanently flawed, they're genetically defective, and nothing we do will make a difference. The alternate hypothesis was there might be a genetic marker for, call it the ORCID gene, that would mean that if we intervene, they will do particularly well. Well, we have found support for that ORCID gene idea, and we have not at all found any support for the hypothesis that some children are genetically permanently flawed and defective. We're ready to reject that hypothesis. But instead, we have found support for the hypothesis that there are genetic markers that indicate some children are born susceptible to the environment, particularly susceptible to the environment. They are maybe our fragile children, but they are also the children that we should keep our eye on because they might do great things depending on the environment to which we expose them.
We are talking about childhood resilience today on The State of Things. Ken Dodge is with me. He's a public policy researcher at Duke University and director of the Center for Child and Family Policy. So this is interesting because it somehow explains the exceptions. Sometimes people point to people who've been through extraordinarily difficult circumstances and they made it, and they can say, well, you know, if they did it, everybody can. But this genetic marker suggests that there are people who are going to need more attention if they're going to do what the dandelion children achieved and we marvel at.
That's right. They may be born into very difficult circumstances either by their culture or their neighborhood or their community or within their family of being exposed to difficult circumstances. And we see them begin a trajectory that would move toward a life of crime. And we, some of us, want to give up on them and warehouse them. Others say that child might actually be an ORCID if we could only provide the right kind of support. Now, it's not a magic bullet, and it's not a six-session intervention that we do in kindergarten and immunize them and send them on their way. It's difficult work and long-term. Just as it takes K through 12 education to make a child become literate in reading, it may take a long time for a child to grow up to become socially literate and competent, and we need to think about it in the same way. It's possible, but it will take a lot of effort.
Fascinating research and certainly very helpful. On the other hand, there's a little a little shiver runs through my spine when I think about the possibility of a genetic test that says, well, let's spend the time on this orchid over here, but oh, this is the dandelion in the group. We've done the genetic test. Don't waste your money. Are you afraid of that?
I am afraid of that, and I don't think we're anywhere near that state at all. I don't think we're anywhere near the idea of using a genetic marker to deny a child. Instead, this research suggests that some children might potentially turn out better than we think, that they have a genetic predisposition to be influenced, highly influenced and susceptible. I think parents know some of these children when they have them. They know the child who is susceptible to peers. And it could go either way. If they're exposed to deviant peers, that's the child who's going to go along and get into a life of trouble. On the other hand, if the child is in the right kind of condition or group, that child might flourish.
And just to highlight the upshot or one of the key findings here, it is precisely those children who are acting out the most who might be the most successful in an intervention program. You may not need a genetic test. Just watch their behavior. And this is a good indication that this is the child who, because of their susceptibility to the negative influences, might turn out best if we just put the time and effort in.
That's the irony, the counterintuitive, not obvious idea in all of this work, that just because you see a 5-year-old child who is aggressive and getting into trouble does not mean that's a child to give up on. It might mean that that's a child who has some spunk, and if you expose that child to the right kind of nurturing, might do well.
Great stuff. Thank you for talking with us, Ken. Ken Dodge, William McDougall Professor of Public Policy at Duke University, Director of the Center for Child and Family Policy. You can find out more about the Fast Track Project at our website, stateofthings.org. There's more just ahead on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.